Right, hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of Christ, our apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, now is out of the 12th hour. Today is June the 27th day of Sivan 2029. We have a new moon Sabbath coming up here in about 4 days. We're going to have two tonic readings, number 18 of Ethiopic, and a text for prayer. We're going to do that first for prayer thought. Then we're going to have a prayer. Okay, our prayer thought for the day is taken from, I'm reading from the Yahshua's Christ of the Presence, page 53, by Ellen G. White. The name of our sermon today is The Final World Government, Communist or Capitalistic Witch. Revelation 17:18. This is December the 13th, 1947. Vichy Hollis. Chris Ark, we're going to read now when the mind is useful and vigorous and susceptible of the rapid development. There is a great temptation to be ambitious for self, to serve self in the formative period of their children's life. The responsibility of the parents is very great. It should be their study to surround the youth with the right inferences that will give them correct views of life and its true success. Furthermore, the desire for the pleasure is endorsed, the stronger it becomes. The interest of these youth is more and more absorbed in the amusement until they come to look upon it as a great object of love, where they form habits of the idleness and self-indulgence that make it almost impossible for them ever to become steadfast Christians. We are here enjoined to pray that the youth be trained and weaned from the serving self, that the parents themselves learn this, for in many instances parental impulses lead the children and into the wilderness in pride that the parents and children realize that the more the desire for pleasure is indulged, the stronger it becomes, and the nearer impossible, and the more impossible it is to satisfy, that we all understand that unless we are given correct views of life and its true of success, they will become absorbed in the amusement and come to look upon it as a great object in life. Okay, end of prayer there. The final world government. we're going now about Revelation 17, 1 to 3. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, but whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a spotted throated beast full of the names of the blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. For this beast is seen to portray the world in its day, as are all the beasts of the Daniel and the Revelation seen to portray the world in their day. For the wilderness being opposite of the vineyard, we note that the beast and domain is not in the promised land, not in the vineyard, Isaiah 5:7, but in the lands of the Gentiles, in the wilderness. From his domain, therefore, is excluded the Holy Land, and by the fact that the woman is sitting on the beast, Babylon is positively shown that she is ruling it, and that the beast itself is a symbol of the dominion of the Babylon the Great. For the beast's ten horns portray civil power, as do the horns of any symbolic beast, and it's the wounded head of the leopard-like beast of the chapter 13 is symbolical of a religious organization, as is taught by the dominions of his seven heads, which likewise be figurative of the religious bodies. Thus it is that this beast in its entirety, like all of the others such beasts of the Bible, symbolizes the Gentile world in its entirety of the civil and religious bodies. It says that and heads. To blaspheme is for one to speak lightly of the other, to work hypocrisy, to profess to be something other than what one actually is. For the inspiration's definition is this: I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of the Satan. Revelation 2:9. Revelation 17:4-6. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color, and decked with the gold and silver stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her hand, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of the Asherah. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. For this woman, there's not symbolized something new, but something as old as the time of the martyrs, for she is the cause of the slain. What could she be but a counterfeit religion which originated with the changed and unacceptable sacrifice? Since then she has brought forth Satanism, has become a mother of the harlots. Her abominations, are made very attractive, being dispensed from a golden cup held in her the hands that are gorgeously decked with the costliest things of the earth. Revelation 17:7-13. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of the life and the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, and who is the mind of which hath the wisdom. For the seven heads of seven mountains on which the a woman sitteth, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not a seven, or even he is of the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give the power and strength unto the beast. I got it. There is a beast whose makeup is simple to that of the leopard, that beast. of chapter 13. For the horns of this scarlet colored beast, though, are crownless, and none of his head are wounded. Also, rather than having the name of blasphemy written only over his head, his whole body is full of the name of blasphemy. In the previous studies, we learned that the leopard-like beast symbolizes the world from the fall of the pagan Rome unto our time, the great controversy. Page 442. Now, since the scarlet colored beast also has a ten horn and seven heads, it is then seen that he too is in the stream of time as symbol of the world for the civil and religious powers, horns and heads. Inasmuch as his head is not wounded, as is the head of the leopard like beast, and since the wound of the leopard like is healed, it is clear that the scarlet colored beast represents the world in the time that the wound is healed, and the time as a two horned beast, Revelation 13, 11 to 18, makes the likeness of the leopard like beast in his three wounded state. For you notice that the horns of the Daniel's fourth beast were crownless, and the horns of the John's leopard like beast are crowned. And again, that the horns of the scarlet colored beast are crowned. For the inspiration by the means of this symbolical beast portrays three periods of the time, one following the other. Number one, the period before the European king received their crown. Number two, the period in which they were crowned. And number three, a period of the crownless king in which Babylon, the great reigns supreme. For the fact that nearly all of the crown kings of the world have already been dethroned is truth in itself, but the period number two, the period of the leopard like beast, crown horn, is about to pass away, and that period number three, period of the scarlet colored beast, crownless horn, is about to be ushered in order to make the transition the present distress of the nation is therefore inevitable. Revelation 17:14-18. Ye shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Sovereign of Sovereigns and King of Kings, and those that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sits are the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the horn, and shall make her distant and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her to the fire. For Yahweh hath put it in their heart to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until their words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is a great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Again, the fact that the ten horned kings have one mind, unlike the 12 kings of Daniel 3:42, but have no kingdom of their own, besides the fact that the woman rules the beast, and also the fact that the common leaders, crowned as king, are the nation and have one work together, for one common power. All of these facts show that though the Thomas appears to be the next power to rule the world, this symbolical prophecy points out that the world will next be ruled by an international religious system, by the Babylon the Great, a rival of the religion of the Asherah, and a counterfeit of the woman in the Revelation chapter 12. The scarlet beast, therefore, is the symbol of the world government into which the United Nations will finally evolve. Since those who have no part in the first resurrection of the unrepentant sinners from the beginning of the world until the millennium are to be resurrected after the 1,000 years, they will then positively discover that their names were not written in the book of the life, no, not one of them. Even from the foundation of the world, the truth thus stands out clearly, that then only will they behold the beast and its three phases, that was and is not and yet is, that is, he was before the millennium and is not during the millennium and yet is after the millennium. He is not during the 1,000 years, because at the commencement of the 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of the fire. Then the remnant, all the rest who came not out of the battle's domain are slain with the sword of the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, Revelation 19:21 and 16. To summarize, having lived before the millennium and also after the millennium, and being dead during the millennium, the beast is seen in the three phases and the three periods, the pre-millennium in which he was, the millennial in which he is not, and post-millennial in which he is. He shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, out of the pit in which Satan himself is to be bound for 1,000 years, and then go into the perdition, Revelation 17:6. That is, he will shortly be put to his second death, from which there is no resurrection. He is the eighth and is of the seventh. That is, there are four beasts in the Daniel 7, two in the Revelation 13, and one in the chapter 17. Seven beasts in all. But the seven lived twice, and thus after his resurrection he is the eighth, that is of the seven. Then he goes into perdition, suffers the second death. By the statement, and there are seven kings, shows that these kings are not in the symbolism, that is, they are not the horns, nor are they the heads. All the horns and the heads are present on the beast, whereas the seven beasts are not there, symbolize five are fallen, one is, and the other is yet to come. We must fully realize that Yahweh, through this symbolism, summarizes the history of the entire world for the beast, as I have said before, is symbolical, not only of the premillennial world, but also of the postmillennial wicked world. The seven kings of the kingdoms from the foundation of the world before the flood, number one. The ancient world before the flood, number two. The ancient Babylonian Empire, number three. The Medo-Persian Empire, number four. The Grecian Empire, number five. The Roman Empire. These are fallen. Six, the one that is the world to which the present distress of the nation is to give birth, that is the premillennial, and of which the beast itself and his final phase is a symbol, and number seven, the one that is to come, is the world after the 1,000 years, of which the beast itself and his third phase is also a symbol. Thus, also with this symbolism, the world of sin is represented from its beginning until its very end. This beast, therefore, is the symbolical summary of the whole world. The 1 hour is obviously the time from the 11th until the 12th allegorical hours, and 4th and the Matthew 20 verse 6. Number 10 in this census, as elsewhere in the Bible, carries the meaning of the universality. The king, 10 kings have no kingdom, while the woman drives the beast. But jointly with the beast, they will have power as kings. For the phrase as yet implies that after the 1 hour, they will receive their kingdom. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereign and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. These kings are to be anti-religious and therefore anti-Christian, for they shall eventually make war with the Yahshua and with his called, chosen, and faithful one, that the Lamb shall overcome the kings. For the woman is shown before is a symbol of a confederated religious system with which the horns are not only in the disagreement but are also her enemies. Consequently, after the symbolical hour is passed, they unseat her from the beast, make her desolate, and burn her with the fire. Then it is that they receive their kingdom for a season and time. Daniel 7:12. That means 15 months, a year and 3 months, a season and time. Revelation 17:17. For Yahweh has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. The call to come out of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, is a call unto the Yahweh's people to come out of her geographic dominion. For the 18th chapter is a continuation of the 17th, and so we shall study it also. Revelation 18:1, and after these things I saw another beast come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. After what thing? After the scarlet beast come into being, and while the woman Babylon is sitting upon him, it is then that the earth is to be lightened with the glory of the angel with the message of the hour. Revelation 18:2-4. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, the greatest Babylon is fallen, and has become the habitation of the devils and the whole every foul spirit and the praise of every unclean and hateful birth. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich to the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from the heavens sent, come out of her, my people, that she receive, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plagues. For a heavenly voice, the Spirit of the truth, is heard calling Yahweh's people out of the Babylon, after the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel, for the Yahweh's people to come out, so that they be not partakers of her sin, and receive not of her plagues. They must necessarily be called into a place that is free from sin, and thus be saved from the Babylon's plagues. Consequently, they go into a purified, sinless church and a land that is not in danger of the plagues. Revelation 18:5-7. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Yahweh hath remembered her iniquities, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according unto her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill unto her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. She has rewarded Yahweh's people with evil, and now she is to be paid back double. She has boasted of ruling the world, and has said in her heart that she is not a widow, that Yahweh is her husband, but she finds herself mistaken. Revelation 18:8-13. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with the fire. For strong is the Yahweh who judges her, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. For the merchandise of the gold and silver and the precious stones and of the pearls and fine linen and purple and the silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of the ivory and all manner of vessels of the meat pack of the meat of precious wood and of the brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odour and ornaments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. She has had everything put into her hands, and her hands put into everything. But now her glory comes to an end. Revelation 18:14-21. And the fish that soul lusts after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. For the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in the fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great a riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by the sea stood afar and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto the great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, a great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by the reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made a desolate. Rejoice over her, thy heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for Yahweh hath avenged you on her, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with the violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. What vows, and what an inglorious end when the 10 horns take the hold of the Babylon, the headquarters of that pretentious, self-righteous worldwide power. Now is our time and opportunity to get ready for the four winds to be let loose and prepare an asylum, a sinless place for the gathering of the people and for the finishing of the gospel work in all of the world. Revelation 18:22-24. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and of the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries for all nations deceived, and her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We see that the system of the government is set up for no other purpose than to make its adherents rich in the name of religion, a practice which supersedes all other forms of the idolatry. If a horse or sit on wealth, if our love of the money becomes greater than our love to help set up the kingdom, then there is no hope. Such shall find themselves magnetically drawn down into the battle. We must remember that the love of the money is the root of all evil, that it is easier for a camel to go through the needle eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. But sad to say, in spite of this solemn warning, we see even the most informed in the saints of Yahweh fall victims unto such filthy lucre. If we have the dollar when we need it, also are certain from day to day of our clothing, food, and a bed to sleep in, we should feel rich. We should feel as if we had $1,000,000 in the bank. Yes, if we seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness and mind the Yahshua's vision, being slothful and nothing and conscientious and everything, then we shall have all these added unto us, Matthew 6:31-33. We have therefore again seen that the final world government is to be neither communistic nor capitalistic, but ecclesiastical, and more in favor of the capitalism than communism. This brings into number 18, two time greeting. And this brings into our third issue, our contact set is 11th hour, or number 11, click on our audio, or close this with a song.